Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 10. Just after the book of Isaiah, we have Jeremiah, chapter 10, and verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And our subject this morning is walking the right way. Well, now we look at these words of the prophet Jeremiah, and we have indeed looked at a number of verses over the last year or so from this tremendous book, because there are so many glorious and profound statements, evangelistic statements, even in this book of the Old Testament. And this may surprise us in some way, because Jeremiah's ministry, just to put this into context very briefly, was a bleak ministry. I've said many times that the prophet Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Why was he known as the weeping prophet? Well, because his ministry really brought bad tidings to the kingdom of Judah. The kingdom of Judah, well, they were given the news from the prophet Jeremiah that Judah would fall, that Jerusalem would fall to invaders from the north, the Babylonians. And this is exactly what happened. The Babylonians, led by King Nebuchadnezzar, they besieged the city. They overcame the children of Israel, those who lived in Judah, and they led the children of Judah into captivity in 587 BC, as many of you well know. And so Jeremiah, he came with this message, and of course this wasn't a very popular message. He was hated because of this prophecy, and so many people wanted to do away with Jeremiah. And what was worse was that Jeremiah was saying, these things, this calamity that is about to fall upon you, it's your fault. It's your fault, Judah, because of your sin. You have departed from God. You have sinned against God. And there are consequences for sin. That's why the people hated Jeremiah. Not just because he was saying this bad news, but they were to blame. The people of the kingdom of Judah. And he goes into great detail about their sin. But you know what they failed to grasp? Was that there was hope in Jeremiah's message. If they just listened very carefully, there was hope. Yes, their calamity would come upon them. Yes, they would be taken into captivity. But the Lord promised that one day he would bring them out. He would bring them out of captivity. He would restore them as a nation, because he was a God who is gracious, because he is a God who is merciful. And in that sense, you know, Jeremiah's message to the people of Judah, well, it's so much like the gospel message that we have now. The gospel message is not very popular. It's hated by so many people because, as we shall consider this morning, we talk about sin. We talk about the consequences of sin, and people hate us because of that. But they fail to grasp the good news. The atheist, the unbeliever, he only wants to hear the bad news about sin, but he doesn't stick around to hear the good news. The good news that there is a way back to God. There is a way out of the captivity of sin. There's a way of reconciliation. There's a way to know the forgiveness and the love of God. There's wonderful good news in the gospel, and that way is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the gospel message, well, really is very similar, bears all the hallmarks of Jeremiah's ministry all that time ago. Well, let's look at some of the things that Jeremiah has to say to us this morning. and we'll focus solely on verse 23 and try and tease out all the relevant learning for us. Verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. This is what the prophet Jeremiah knew, not because he was a wise person, but because God had revealed it to him. Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Well, already, just from that first part of the verse, you see that the word of God is in direct contrast to the wisdom of the world in which we live. The wisdom of the world, well, they would say that the way of man is in himself. I remember when I was seeking the Lord, and it wasn't too far off from the time of my conversion. Well, I was speaking to my friends about the Lord and about seeking God and about going to church and so forth, and they were not very happy at all. And they were unbelievers, of course. And they would say to me, they would try to convince me for hours on end, oh, you don't need God. You don't need God. You just need to trust in yourself. That's the way you need to go. Everything that you need to know is in yourself. You can do everything that you want to do. That's the secret to life. Just trust in yourself and everything will be wonderful. That's what they would say to me. That's the way of the world. The way of man is in himself. He can make everything wonderful and good, but the word of God says something completely different, in complete contrast. The way of man is not in himself. The way that a man should live is not to be found in himself. And why is that? Let's think about this just for a few minutes. Why not? What's wrong with man? Isn't man made in the image of God? Well, yes, of course he is. We affirm that most completely. Man is made in the image of God. He is in many ways a glorious creature, fearfully and wonderfully made. The scriptures teach us, made in the image of God, made with glorious abilities. Man has a tremendous and unique way of expressing himself, of relating to others. Man is able to imagine things and then to create what he imagines. This is a glorious faculty. Man has the power of reason. Man has a soul, a capacity for spiritual life far higher than the animals, far higher. You know, it's the atheist and the unbeliever who has a low view of man. They have the low view of man. They think that man is just an evolved ape. But the scriptures, the word of God, Christian people, we know that man is made in the image of God, set apart from all of God's creation, made in his image, a glorious creature. So the atheist really is the one who is guilty of having too low a view of man. But at the same time, the atheist and the unbeliever is guilty of having too high a view of man. He has too low a view of man and too high a view of man. How does he have too high a view? Well, he thinks that man is in control of everything. Man, well, he is in charge of his own destiny. He's able to solve all his own problems. All the problems of the world, man can do it. Man can solve all these things. He is in charge. He is the captain of his ship. Collectively and individually, man is in control. Well, that's a tremendous error. That's the great arrogance of man. That's the foolishness of man. And it is in direct clash and conflict with the word of God. You look back over history. What does history teach us? History does not attest to this idea that man is in charge of his own destiny. It gives no evidence to support that. Even the most powerful men in history were not in charge of their own destiny. I was reading just the other day about Julius Caesar, lived just before the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Julius Caesar, a man of tremendous power, the greatest Roman general who has ever lived, the head of the Roman Empire. Well, we could speak for many hours on Julius Caesar, but he had unparalleled power, and people considered him even to be a god. He had godlike status on earth. And you think to yourself, if there was anyone who was in charge of his own destiny, surely it would be Caesar. But what happened to Julius Caesar? So many of you know, he was assassinated by his own senators, even those senators whom he trusted the most. He didn't see that coming. He wasn't in charge of his own destiny. He was brutally murdered. He was stabbed 23 times. He didn't plan that. Of course not. So if Julius Caesar and others we could talk about, if he wasn't in charge of his own destiny, do you think you would be in charge of your own destiny? It's utter foolishness to think in such a way. Now, I'm not saying that we can never make plans. We can plan for our future. We can plan. It's responsible to plan for our families and to save up for pensions and all that sort of thing. But what I'm trying to say is that we're not in control of any of our plans. This should be obvious even to us as individuals. How many times do we hear in the news about people, ordinary people? They go about their business, they go to work, they plan their day, and then suddenly out of nowhere, there's some calamity that comes into their life. Something tragic will happen, and their whole lives will be changed. All the plans that they made before suddenly are changed completely. That can happen. I know we all like to think that will never happen to us. Oh, that's just in the news. That's just somebody else. But dear friends, who out of any of us can actually see our futures? Can you see your future? You can't even see what's going to happen tomorrow. So we are not qualified to direct our steps. The way of man is not in himself. And this is part of the reason why. Only God is qualified to direct our steps. He is the one who sees all things. He is the one who is all-knowing, of course. He sees everything. He has seen everything in this world. The history of the world is open to him. Even the best historian, the best human historian, well, he can only know the past, well, only in a very limited way. He can only see what has been recorded on artifacts and monuments. He can only know about great things that have happened, about great people, kings and queens, and notable events. But God can see all things, all events, everything that has happened in the history of the world, from day one to the very end of time. He can see all these things. The scriptures say that not a bird falls from the air without God knowing. Even the most trivial thing, God knows. He knows all the smallest details of the lives of every single person that has ever lived. All their words, all their actions, all their deeds, all their thoughts. Absolutely staggering to think. But this is the nature of our God. He is a staggering and an almighty God. He sees the future. He has seen to the very end of your life. He knows your very last day when we will be lying on your deathbed. God has seen that day. God knows how long you have left. You don't know how long you have left. That is why God is qualified, and only God, to direct your steps. And he will. If you ask him, he is willing and able to lead you in the right way. The right way. And this is a wonderful thing to consider. Dear friends, do you know what the right way is? The right way to live. Again, you ask people nowadays, in this unbelieving world. What is the right way to live? And so many people, they don't know. They don't know what the right way is to live. They will stumble and stutter for a few minutes, and then they'll say, well, I guess it's what you feel like doing. You follow your heart. That's the right way to live. What feels right for you, that's the right way to live. You follow your own heart. But dear friends, that is such a sad and mistaken conclusion. If the prophet Jeremiah were alive today and he heard somebody say that, he would condemn them in the strongest terms. You know, this was why Judah was heading for calamity. Why was Judah about to be overcome by their enemies? Why was God letting this happen? Why had God withdrawn? Because they had stopped following the ways of God and done what? They were following after the ways of their own hearts. That's what Jeremiah said. You're following the way of your wicked, evil heart. Dear friends, is there anybody here who thinks that's a good way? Is that the way you live your life? When I come to make a decision, I just follow the way of my heart. Dear friends, you're going the wrong way. That's the wrong way to go. Yes, man is glorious in so many ways, but he is a fallen creature. We are members of a fallen human race. Since the sin of Adam in the Garden of Eden, man has fallen. Our hearts are not good by nature. Our hearts are corrupt. Jeremiah himself said that our hearts are deceitful and they're wicked. He knew the truth. So if we follow our heart, well, our hearts will only lead us to greater and greater sin. That is the way we go if we follow our own hearts. And we have to defend ourselves from this, because again, this is the spirit of the age. This is why this society is so confused, so immoral. This is why we see so much sin and so much anger and so much hatred, because everyone's following their own heart. Dear friends, that's not the way to go. If you follow your own heart, well, it doesn't matter what your plans are. Doesn't matter how talented you think you are, how gifted you think you are. All of your plans will be spoiled by your own sin. By your own sin. Your own sin will totally destroy all your plans and all your joy. Again, you could think about things that we hear in the news. Think about all these film stars and pop stars. And, well, they make the big time and everyone thinks this is great. They're living the dream. They're following the way of their own heart. They're making lots of money. What a wonderful time to be living without God. And then what do you hear? Oh, this film star, oh, he's gone to rehab. Oh, this pop star, he's so terribly depressed. And now he's addicted to drugs. And now he's an alcoholic. And now perhaps this star who was shining so brightly has taken his own life. You see, they were so talented, so gifted, but sin, their own sin, destroyed all their joys, destroyed all their plans. Dear friends, don't follow the way of your heart. There is a way that we must go. There is a way that we must follow, and that way is Christ. The way of forgiveness, the way out of our sin. There is, of course, a day of judgment coming. There was a day of reckoning for the people of Judah, the day when the Babylonians would come and take them into captivity. And just as Jeremiah prophesied to them on that day, I am bound and obliged to preach to you that there is a day of reckoning coming for all of us, a day of judgment coming for all of us. And those who have seen fit to live their lives without God, well, they will be compelled to live an eternity without God. An eternity in a God-forsaken place. Dear friends, There is a way back to God. That's the good news. Don't just hear the bad news. This is the good news. There is a way back to God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In our scripture reading, I read from Isaiah 53, and what did we read? Well, we read these words, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Everyone has gone their own way according to the desires of their hearts." But what did we read following? "Everyone has turned to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Yes, to turn away from God and to go your own way is a great sin. But if you turn back to God, Christ will take the punishment for your sin. He takes the punishment. You've rebelled against God, you've sinned against God, but Christ is there to take the punishment for your sin so that you may be forgiven, so that you may have that certain hope of salvation. That's the way back to God. That's the way we must take. How dare we turn away from it? Christ, who came and died in our place, our substitute, our scapegoat. Dear friends, he is there. You can claim him even this day. You can follow the way that is good. Well, I must begin to draw to conclusion. But dear friends, I speak to those who don't know the Lord particularly. When you leave this place, think about these things. When you leave this place, I'm sure you'll go the right way home. You won't go the wrong way home. That would be ridiculous. That would be foolish. I'm sure you'll go the right way home. But how much more foolish it would be if you leave this place and you keep living your life in the wrong way. Now that you have been presented the right way, shown the right way, how much more foolish? No, I'm going to keep living the wrong way. I'm going to keep going the wrong way in my life. What a foolish thing that is. And there will be severe consequences to bear. Dear friends, follow the way of Christ. I remember when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, this was a great part of my peace. I was saved when I was age 30. I was an adult. I wasn't a child. I'd lived quite a long time in the world as an adult, making all the wrong decisions, following the way of my own heart, hurting other people, hurting myself. But the great joy that I had when I came to Christ, now I have finally found the right way. And the Lord has led me that right way for over 10 years now. The right way, it's not always the easy way. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's difficult, but you're joyous because you know that this is the right way. This is the right way. And I know that when I come to the end of my life, it will be a way everlasting. Even on my deathbed, this way will continue. I will know eternal peace and eternal joy. Christ is that way. He is the only way that leads you through death into eternal life. Dear friends, I plead with you, follow that way, the right way. All other ways lead to darkness and condemnation and being forsaken of God. The right way leads to Christ. May your prayer this day, this afternoon, this morning even, be that God direct your steps to Christ so that you may be eternally blessed. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, oh, dear Lord, how we pray that thou wouldest teach us thy way. Oh, Lord, help us to forsake the way of our own foolish and corrupt hearts, our hearts that deceive us, our hearts that will lead us into ever greater sin and sorrow. Oh, Lord, deliver us from ourselves. And Lord, teach us that way that is good, that is right, that way that leads to eternal life. Bless us and save each and every one. Lord, we ask it all in our dear Saviour's name, for his sake. Amen.